Is everybody doing well? You guys doing good? It's good to see you. Hopefully you're having a great holiday season here. Whether you're celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas or both, we bless you and just pray that it's just a sweet time between you and the Lord and with family and friends and really a time of deep reflection. This is a great time of year for those things. And so why don't we pray over the message today and that God would speak to us. Sound good? Amen. Well, Lord, we do thank you again for your presence here among us. Lord, as even we look at these lights and we look at this Hanukkah, we see, Lord, that you are the light of the world, and we're reminded that you are the servant. And you came to seek and to save those that were lost, and that you came humble as a servant, and you light our hearts with your light, Lord, and you are illumination. You illuminate our hearts, you illuminate our spirits, our souls, and you cause us to come alive. And so today, as you speak to us, Lord, would you help us to be open to receive the things that you have for us today? We want to be good soil that you plant good seed into, that it would bear good fruit for your kingdom, everlasting fruit that would last. We bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Amen. I'm calling this message today, Connect the Dots. Connect the Dots. How many people have ever done a Connect the Dot puzzle? Anybody done a Connect the Dot puzzle? I don't know about you. I love puzzles. I love games. And Connect the Dots is one of those ones that's just, it's a classic. It's a standard. It's a classic. And if most of us, if not all of us, know what a Connect the Dots puzzle is, right? Basically, it's a series of dots that are on a paper, and those dots have a system of, they're usually numbered, or they have a symbol, and there's kind of a key kind of on the left, and if it's symbols, it's, and you start at one dot, and you go to the next one, and you go to the next one, and so you kind of go through sequentially, so you kind of go through in order to kind of create a picture. Now, the thing is about connecting the dots, and why I'm kind of bringing this up is, you know, usually when you see a connect the dots puzzle, it kind of looks like this. If you can show that first slide, Ted. So we have a connect the dots puzzle. Now, some of us can kind of use our imaginations. We can kind of probably figure out what that puzzle is. Anybody want to guess what that is? A duck. All right, we got a duck. Any other guesses? Elephant. We got elephant. Duck or elephant. All right, well, so here we see the dots. So this is kind of how it looks. And then in the next slide, let's see, the big mystery revealed. Oh my gosh, it's an elephant. We had elephant. Who guessed elephant? All right, wonderful. We knew it was an elephant. So some of us can see, you know, sometimes they get very complex, right? These connect the dot puzzles. Ted, if you want to throw that first slide back up. And I was thinking about this because, I don't know, at this time of year, like I mentioned, I think the end of the year, at least our calendar year here, I get pretty kind of like reflective. Most of us kind of get reflective. We start thinking about the year that we've had. Things tend to slow down with the holiday season, and a lot of reflection happens. And we start reflecting, kind of looking back, and we start being able to have some hindsight on this past year. Maybe some of us reflect on those good things that happened in our lives, 2024. Maybe we were reflecting on some of those challenging things. Maybe some of us experienced loss. Maybe some of us got a promotion or got a new job. But somehow the beginning of 2024, or maybe the beginning of the year, looked something like this. We might have some kind of an idea of what it was going to look like, but we weren't really sure how the picture was going to unfold. So as time marched on, it kind of developed, and it went into really more of the full picture. And so more of the full picture, as it kind of develops, we can see, like, at the end of this, Ted, you can flip on the next slide. Oh, okay, we look back and we can kind of see now we're in at the end of the year. I get a better picture of what it is. Now, this whole idea of connect the dots, and that first picture, it kind of feels for us, I think a lot of times, kind of disconcerting, maybe unsettling for some of us. Where maybe our lives can kind of feel like, you know, I'm not really sure how this picture is going to play out. All these things kind of in my life, they look like just kind of a random assortment of dots. And I don't know if you're like me, but I kind of like to know what's going on. I'd like to have kind of a heads up from the Lord, maybe more than I do. And maybe he's just going to appear to me and say, hey, Simon, you're going to go through this, and here's what it's going to mean, and here's what's going to happen, here's what you're to do, here's going to be the end of it and the result of it. And he's going to lay it out kind of like a present in a nice box, all bowed up, ready to go and delivered. I don't know about you, but that doesn't happen a lot to me. Right? It just, a lot of the times, it looks more like this. I'm kind of confused. I kind of don't know what's going on, but something, well, I would say that there's something beautiful about connecting the dots. You know, though we're not able to sense it all the time, we understand that the good news is that God knows what that puzzle's supposed to look like. God knew the entire time that whenever this puzzle maker was plotting out these points, he knew that that person's going to be creating an elephant. That's what this connect the dots puzzle is like. And the good news for us this morning is that our lives are like these connect the dots puzzles. We may not know everything that's going on. We may not understand it. We may be disappointed by some of it. But the good news is, Romans 8:28 says, what's it say to high? According to his purpose. He is causing all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So all good things, somehow, some way, those bumps in the road, those things that we face, those challenges and those situations that we face, somehow God's able to orchestrate them and cause them to go into a bigger picture of what it means to be a son or daughter of the kingdom. Somehow he's able to cosmically work all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And listen, saints, that's you and me. You know, Jackie did a great job this morning. Jackie, you were preaching this morning. Jackie's got some fire in her. But she's talking about Joseph. You know, this time of year, you know, the Torah portion is about Joseph. And again, kind of the royal family, if we would say that, you know, God's chosen family. We recognize they've had ups and downs. They had their stuff. They had their issues. And Joseph wasn't excluded from that. I mean, Joseph was an interesting guy, and he had some things. I've heard some very interesting commentaries. If you kind of read about some of the rabbis, the way that they talk about Joseph, they're like, you know, it's a little bit more complicated. Some of them say, you know, he was pretty arrogant, pretty presumptuous. And maybe when he was escaping Potiphar's wife, when he was fleeing and she was trying to entice him, maybe he was just kind of more concerned for his own self and kind of his own drive for ambition and success. Or, you know, and he kind of flippantly mentioned to his brothers and his parents, you know, hey, I have this dream, and in this dream you're going to serve me. And, you know, and they obviously didn't like that. So, but regardless of, you know, we don't know exactly the motivations that Joseph had, but what a fascinating life. What a fascinating story. So I think about kind of that holy family, God's chosen family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and the 12 tribes. And what an amazing thing is, you know, their life probably at the time, it looked like a lot of those dots. It looked scattered. It looked like, oh my gosh, how can you use these folks? What are you going to do with these people? Why did you choose them? They're kind of a big mess. But somehow, some way, God has his way. He does what he wants to do. His promises are yes and amen. And if he wants to do something, he's going to do it. He knows the beginning from the end. Our lives are like these connect the dot puzzles that we don't know the beginning from the end. Other than we know the puzzle maker, we know the creator, we know this one who has everything already figured out. And those plots are those points in between that are creating a story. Now, Joseph, he had a story. And I believe that the entirety of Scripture, I think it's so beautiful because the narrative, the story of Scripture from the Bible, from the beginning to the end, the story of God and humanity and reconciliation, it creates this beautiful picture like a dot to dot. And God already knows what everything is going to look like. He already has all those things in control. He's holding those things together. Nothing escapes him. Nothing is a surprise to him. But it's this beautiful idea that God wants us to connect the dots with him. God wants us to be participating in this picture of our lives and the beauty that that is with him. Joseph, like I said, I've just been fascinated with the story of Joseph. It's very interesting to me. I've also, done some dream interpretation and stuff, and it's just interesting. Joseph had these dreams, and God spoke to him and spoke to him about his family. It's pretty wild, but as we look at the life of Joseph, we can start connecting the dots. And not just Joseph, but I believe all these different characters, all these different things, connecting the dots for the prophesied and foretold Messiah that was to come. One of these things, if you look at the story of Joseph, there is so many parallels to Yeshua, Jesus. Some of these things, I just kind of want to go over a couple of examples of these. And I'm going to, if you're taking notes, I can rattle off some of these scripture verses. We're not going to necessarily throw them up. But here's a few examples of, this is called topography, like types of. So Joseph was a type of Christ. Joseph was a type of Messiah. And there's a lot of these examples in the Old Covenant that are pointing to something. It's like they're connecting the dots. They're painting a picture. They're drawing things. And God's is kind of like, he's like, I've got something to show you. I'm creating a big picture. And once it's revealed, you're going to see who it is. And obviously, plot spoiler, the big reveal is Yeshua is Lord. He is the one and only Son of God. That was the big reveal. But all of these things before that were pointing to that. And they give us hope and they give us a realization that hundreds, thousands of years before the event actually happened here on earth, God had already orchestrated, he planned it, and he was moving things around to create this picture. And he's doing the same thing in our lives today. Our lives are significant. Your life is significant. The enemy would try to have you believe that your life is not significant, that your little existence doesn't really matter, that you're just maybe a pawn. Maybe, you're never going to have a massive influence, or you're never going to have this big, huge platform in order to speak or to do whatever. But that is such a lie from the enemy. God sees us all as important. And I believe that God moved in the life of Joseph in magnificent ways, and he was prophesying about these things. Listen to this. A couple of examples of how Joseph was like Jesus, like Yeshua. Joseph was the beloved son of his father, just as Christ was. That's John 3:16 in the New Covenant. Joseph became a poor servant, even as Christ did, 2 Corinthians 8:9. His brothers hated him because of his dream that he would one day rule over them. It's Genesis 37:4-8. Just like many of Yeshua's brothers hated him and would not have him reign over them. Luke 19:14. The Jewish brothers would eventually bow to Joseph, even though they previously rejected and harmed him. Likewise, Israel initially rejected Christ and killed him, but one day they will submit to him and worship him as their Messiah. Amen? Zechariah 12:10 and Romans 11:26 through 27 talks about that. Joseph and Jesus, Yeshua, were betrayed by their brothers and sold for the price of a slave in silver. Think about the 20 shekels of silver that Joseph was sold for. That was the price of a slave in biblical times. Then you fast forward, hundreds of years, and then you have Yeshua getting sold for 30 shekels of silver. The inflation, the cost of slaves went up. It's true. But they were both sold as for the price of a slave. It's almost kind of like God was hinting, hey, take a look at the life of Joseph, you're going to learn some things about what I'm going to do in the future. Both were unrecognized by their brothers for who they truly were. Isn't that interesting? When his brothers came, they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. Joseph was exalted to prince in Egypt. Everything was under Joseph's rule except for Pharaoh. And that's Genesis 41:40. And Pharaoh said, only I, the king, will be greater than you. Likewise, God exalted Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:27 says, for he put everything in subjection under his feet. So obviously, everything is in subject to Christ. Joseph was given a Gentile wife, an Egyptian. Christ has been given a bride that is both Jew and Gentile. It's the church. It's us. It's believers. Amen? Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. Joseph wept over his brothers, just like Christ wept over the sins of his brothers, the Jews as well. Joseph was a prophet that revealed messages from God. Obviously, Jesus was the prophet. Joseph saved lives of those who came to him for help, including many nations of the world, just like Christ saved the lives of all who come to him for help. Connecting the dots. There's a lot of these. There's like 75 different ways that Joseph was like Yeshua. It was a type of Christ. It was like there was a picture that was being painted. He was raised up from the earth. He was in a pit and raised up. He acted as an advocate, provided food. Reconciliation at the end of the story ended up as rulers against all expectations. So interesting, isn't it? It's another interesting note on that is that Joseph's brothers represent the whole tribes of Israel and therefore the entire people of Israel. Even though Joseph is one of Jacob's sons, he is set apart from his brothers as evidenced by the fact that there is no tribe that's directly named after him. Likewise, Yeshua, though he's part of his people Israel, he's set apart from them. Just interesting, some of these kind of parallels come, some of these pictures that are being painted of who this Messiah would be. Now, there's these amazing parallels kind of that happen throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Covenant, again, that are prophesying, that are talking about something, talking about this light of the world, talking about this Christ, this Savior, this Messiah. Who would he be? What would he be like? It's like connecting the dots. A few of these other ones are Abel, like Cain and Abel. Abel, you know, as we know, he was murdered by his brother, even though he was innocent. Genesis 4, 10 through 11 says, "The Lord said, 'What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand.'" His death really speaks about the need for justice. Yeshua's spilt blood speaks of redemption, mercy, forgiveness. It was prophesying, it was talking about something that was going to be completely fulfilled in Yeshua. Hebrews 12, 24 says, "Jesus, Yeshua, is the mediator of a new covenant and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Noah's Ark is another kind of like type of Christ, type of, it was giving us a picture. It was helping us to connect the dots. Think about the way that God saved Noah's family and all who entered in that ark from the judgment against of the flood. Now, this in the same way, God saves all who come to Christ, and all who are outside of Christ, unfortunately, will experience God's wrath. He's our refuge. Noah's Ark was talking about, oh my gosh, there's something that's bigger that's happening. Redemption, salvation, coming into the protection of what God has given to us. 1 Peter 3, 20 through 21 says this, "To those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Again, so we see these things that are kind of pointing toward Messiah, Yeshua, a deliverer, a savior. And then we have Paul, we have the some of the letters in the writings in the New Covenant that are talking about, kind of giving explanation of that event, fulfilling it, saying, here's the big picture. Here's the thing that we've been waiting for. Think about the King Melchizedek. You know, there's a whole chapter in Hebrews talking about this mysterious King Melchizedek. It said that there would be a priest in the order of Melchizedek that would be raised up. And that priest is Jesus. That was Yeshua. So interesting. You think about Jacob's ladder, angels ascending and descending. We just talked about that in the Torah portion a few weeks ago. angels ascending and descending, this bridge between heaven and earth. What is Yeshua? A bridge between heaven and earth. Moses, we all know the story of the great story of Moses delivering the people out of captivity. A type of Christ pointing to somewhere, painting these pictures. So why all these stories? Man, listen, God is such a storyteller. And I say that in the most absolutely beautiful, respectful, not like he's like just telling us, he's just a storyteller, he's just spinning tales. No, he's a storyteller. He's constructing a narrative that you and you and you and you and me, we are all a part of this beautiful, big story. And all of these parts matter to God. You matter to God. Your story matters to God. It matters to the people around you. He wants us to learn more about Him through these stories. He wants us to chew the fat, and we talked about midrash. He wants us to midrash with Him, chew the fat. Talk to Him about what these things mean. Lord, what is this picture right now? My life seems kind of scattered. I don't know what you're doing in my life. I don't know what you're doing around in my country. You know, we can either kind of get all bummed out, ho-hum, and like, you know, this country's going to hell in a handbasket, and I don't know what's going on, and we can surrender ourselves, or we can say, you know what, God's got something bigger planned. And it's not just about the American government. Like you said, it's not political. Praise God. He speaks and He does what He says He's going to do. He is God. Amen. And so our idea is that we get to participate with Him. Your life matters. A couple of takeaways from this connecting the dots. First takeaway is, listen, our lives are very significant, but it's not just about us. But our lives are significant. How many people know the name Edward Kimball? Anybody? Most likely not. It was the year 1858. You don't know him. You're about to. 1858 in the city of Boston. Edward Kimball was a young Sunday school teacher who made it a habit to personally give each student in the class an opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. He was concerned about one of his students who worked in a shoe store. One day, Kimball visited the young man in a shoe store, and he found him in the back stocking shelves, and he led him to Christ. That student was Dwight L. Moody, who eventually left the shoe business to become one of the great evangelists of all time. Now, Moody became an international speaker, and he toured the British Isles. He preached in a little chapel pastored by a young man named Frederick Meyer. Anybody ever heard of old Freddie Meyer? Nope. I heard about Fred Meyer. I think this is a little different. I know. In his sermon, he told the story of his Sunday school teacher. The message that changed Pastor Meyer's ministry, inspiring him to become an evangelist like Moody. Now, Meyer eventually preached in America. And in Northfield, Massachusetts, there was a young preacher heard him say, "If you are not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing?" Now that remark led J. Wilbur Chapman to respond to God's call on his life. Probably all of us never heard of J. Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman went on to become an effective evangelist. He enlisted the help of a volunteer named Billy Sunday, who helped him set out for his crusades. Billy Sunday learned how to preach by watching Chapman and eventually took over Chapman's ministry, becoming a dynamic evangelist. Now Billy Sunday's preaching, he preached through us, and he brought thousands to Christ. Inspired by one of these Billy Sermon Crusades in Charlotte, North Carolina, a group of Christian men dedicated themselves to reaching their city for Christ. They invited an evangelist, Mordecai Ham. Anybody Mordecai Ham? No? So Mordecai Ham came and held a series of evangelistic meetings. The year was 1932. A local farmer loaded his pickup truck with his neighbors and brought them to the meetings. One of them was a 16-year-old boy who sat in the crowd each night spellbound by the message. Each evening, the preacher seemed to be shouting and waving his finger at the young man. Night after night, the teenager came, and finally, on the last night, he went forward and gave his life to Christ. That teenager was Billy Graham. Billy Graham communicated the gospel to more people than any person in history, what they figured. Still to this day, probably some of us knew or know people that were led to the Lord by Billy Graham's ministry. Is that right? Yep. So think about that. It all started with a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. Now, nobody's probably ever heard of Edward Kimball, but God knew what that connect the dots picture was going to look like. He knew that someday there was going to be somebody named Billy Graham that God was going to use mightily to preach to thousands, millions of people. But he also knew, as significant as that, was the man Edward Kimball, who was a Sunday school teacher with a heart to lead people to Christ, to lead his students to Christ. And that's the way that the kingdom works, kingdom multiplication, connecting the dots. Things get, like they have a snowball effect. Things start happening. Things start changing. When our hearts start changing, the world around us starts changing. All of a sudden, the connect the dot picture gets to be more and more filled in. And so I want to encourage you, listen, your life matters. What you do today matters. What you do tomorrow matters. How you choose to live your life matters. It's influencing maybe even more than you know or understand. Next picture is, or next takeaway is that God wants us to keep the bigger picture in mind. Life just hands us unforeseen things. It's important for us to keep the bigger picture in mind. That sometimes when we're going through things, we don't have that big picture. We're in the trenches, as they say. But God wants us to live lives more like generals who are in the planning room, and they're helping to oversee, and the general's speaking to us, and he's showing us what we should do, and we're helping to carry out these plans, and we're saying, God, take me higher, give my vision higher. Help me understand what my life looks like in the big picture. And listen, when we do that, all of a sudden going through that stuff that we're going through is a lot easier to cope with because we say, listen, I may not know or understand everything I'm going through, but I know Jesus. I know the Lord, and I know that he is for me. And listen, sometimes that next move doesn't make sense. I decided to print out a connect the dots puzzle this week because I'm like, hey, I'll be preaching on this. I'm going to do a connect the dots puzzle. I probably haven't done one in 20, 30 years. So I printed one out. I had no idea what it was. And some of those moves kind of like, they didn't really make sense. And I'm like, kind of pull it back. I'm like, I'm still not seeing the picture here. But I just kept on going. I kept on going and I kept on creating. I kept on going from one dot to the next. And I was trying to remember, listen, there's a picture that's being painted here. Just like my life is a picture that's being painted. It's going from dot to dot to dot. Sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed. I don't know what this picture is supposed to look like, but be faithful and watch and see that God will lead us to that next step as we stay in relationship and we stay close to him. Listen, Matthew 6, remember this is such a beautiful picture. This is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today, somebody say today. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Today is our daily bread. It's going from one dot to the next. Your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Listen, sometimes he illuminates the whole thing when we're walking and we can see the big picture. And when we do, we know where we're going. But sometimes we can only see that next step. Just keep going. Just keep stepping. Do not be discouraged. Do not let the enemy steal your joy or rob you from the direction that God wants you to go. Keep stepping. Keep creating that dot-to-dot picture. And watch and see what God will do in your life. He's such a good shepherd, isn't he? He's called the good shepherd for a reason. He's leading us and guiding us. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where that watering hole is. When you need a drink, he knows. He's going to lead you there one step at a time. I love that It's God's ministry that we get to be a part of, but we get to be his co-laborers. You know, he loves to build his kingdom with us. We're not just observers of God. We are co-laborers. And our work that he's called us to do, that he's set out, he's ordained for us to do, is important work. It's so important. And I'm encouraged, and I remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has made it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, God's field, God's building. Listen, if it doesn't excite you to partner up with the creator of the world and to say, listen, I get to partner up with the most genius, wealthiest, most powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, all-encompassing being that ever was and ever will be, and he wants to be my partner in life, I don't know what's going on. I don't know, we need one of those defibrillators and like start your heart, because I'm not sure you have a pulse. Listen, it is a great joy for us to partner with him in the kingdom, to pour it out, to lay it all on the field, and to say, God, you came for us. I want to live my life for you. I want to walk with you. I want to know more about you. We're going to see that whole picture develop one day. Listen, when every single one of us in this room is in eternity, man, oh man, imagine what we're going to get to see. Imagine what the Lord is going to show us. Imagine. We can only imagine what it's going to be like, but it's going to be beautiful and fascinating. We're going to look back and say, God, you really did have the whole picture in mind. So why was I anxious? Why was I afraid? Why didn't I serve you with every breath that I had? Why didn't I trust you when the going got tough? And of course, there's going to be grace, there's forgiveness. But you know what? I don't want to just wait till heaven to receive that. I want to receive it now. I want to lay hold of it. The Greek word for lay hold of is lambano. I want to lay hold of the things that God has for me. I want you to lay hold of the things that God has for you, because your life is significant. Listen, we went to this ministry this last Sunday after church called the Barth Hotel. Anybody heard of Barth Hotel here in Denver? It is a senior living center and like assisted living, a facility that's been operating for a long, long time. Now, some of us may not know, I know this because they're my folks, but the church has been going down there every fourth Sunday of the month for over 20 years. Now, some of these folks that are at the Barth Hotel, they're kind of like really non-communicative. Some of them have some mental issues. A lot of them have just got stuff. They've got things going on. But every fourth Sunday for the last 20 plus years, some faithful servants, my folks included, have been going to the Barth ministry to go bring a church service and to go bring the good news of Jesus into that place and to go bring a meal and to go love on these people. We just found out that the Barth ministry or the Barth Hotel is closing its doors after all these years because of finances. They're right downtown, right by Union Station. It's very expensive. They've got an old building that needs repair, but they're closing. But listen, the lives of these people matters to God. These people who a lot of them probably couldn't get out to go to a church service like this. But listen, faithful sons and daughters went and brought the good news to them. Went out and said, you know what? Your life matters to Jesus. You matter to the Lord. What we do matters. And listen, this wasn't some sort of like smoke and mirror service. I mean, we're talking, this was kind of rough and grumble, right, Mom? I went with Mom. My dad couldn't make it last week, so it was like I filled in. But it was such a blessed time. And listen, the presence of the Lord that you experience when you're with people that, like, a lot of the world says, you know what? You don't matter. You're cast out, you know, oh, you're getting too old. You don't have the mental capacity to be any good to society. But wait, when we stop and we live our lives to say, you are important. The Lord Jesus says that you are important. Yeshua gave his life for you. Come here to serve you. Listen, that is the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus. One of the things I love about these pictures and why God uses symbols and uses parables and stuff, because it's like the gospel is for all of us. The good news is for every single one of us. Every race, every ethnicity, every social class, every demographic, every single person. And he loves to communicate with us. He loves to paint pictures in our lives. And as we kind of like land the plane today, I just want to encourage us. Let's go to God. This is a time of year for deep reflection. It's a time when we can look it back, and we look at not just our last year, but we can evaluate our lives and we can say, God, I want my next year to be full of faith. I want to live my life next year like I'm going to go from one dot to the other. I'm not going to be overwhelmed trying to figure out everything in life, all the situations, because listen, I don't know, you're like me, but I have definitely been overwhelmed more times than I should have this year. And it's because my eyes got on what wasn't working right. It's because I allowed my heart to get drawn into things that made me sad or disappointed. But I want to live my life differently. I want to live my life where my eyes are more consistently on Jesus, on Yeshua. When he's going to take us from one dot to another. And all of a sudden, there might be a sudden turn. But we're heading in the direction with him. I love that scripture. It says, if you are born of the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. That means as we're walking, I'm walking alongside of him. I'm not walking too fast. I'm not dragging my feet. I'm not going to the left or to the right. I am keeping in step with Yeshua. I'm keeping in step with the Lord. He wants us to keep in step with him this year. If we're out of alignment, if we're out of step, we're going before, too far in front, too far behind, to the left or to the right. We want to keep in step with the Lord. There's an invitation that God says, keep in step with me this year. If you've been out of sync, if you've been going in a way that you shouldn't have been going, time to get aligned with the Lord. Start holding hands with them. It's a great way to not get too far away when you're holding hands with them, staying close. That's great. Holding hands with the Lord, walking hand in hand. Lead me, guide me. That's how he wants us to be in this upcoming year. Let's all stand. Let's pause for a second just to focus on the Lord. Let's just open up our hearts, open up our lives. I think that there's these moments we can kind of run by, blaze by too fast. But right now, at 12:04, on December 28th, 2024, we have an opportunity just to come before the Lord and just to say, Lord, here I am. I'm in your presence. Lord, I love you. I worship you, and I want to keep in step with you. And today, Lord, we do say that that is our prayer, that we want to keep in step with you. We are born of your Spirit. We've been miraculously reborn. We are born again believers, born again followers of you, Lord. We're no longer who we used to be. We become a new creation. And we know along with that, Lord, there is the temptation sometimes to go back to the old stuff, to get overwhelmed and to want to know everything that's going on all the time, to let our minds get frantic and full of fear. And Is there going to be enough? Is there enough money? Is there enough provision? Is there enough work? Is there enough time for my family to know you, Jesus? But Lord, today we take all of those things, all of the heavy things, all of the beautiful things, and we lay them at your feet. We say, here we are, Lord. We want to walk with you. We want to keep in step with you, Lord. We want to trust that you're drawing a picture and you're painting this beautiful painting with our lives. And Lord, you know what it's going to look like at the end. We don't. But we're not going to get afraid. We're not going to move in fear. We're not going to move in doubt or disbelief. Regardless of who else doesn't go, who else doesn't listen, regardless of what direction our country goes or our world goes, we are going to follow you. We're going to keep in step with you, God. We want to walk with you. We want to trust you that you are the great artist. You are the great author. You're painting a beautiful picture that we get to be a part of. You're writing a story that has us as characters in it. And you're not one who just wrote us in there and is distant. You're one who lives life with us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And thank you that you're with us. I thank you, Lord, that you're with us in these hard times that people in this room right now are facing. Things that are not easy, things that are hard and heartbreaking and sad and challenging. Thank you that you're with them, God. Thank you that you would infuse them with encouragement and strength right now. That you would be reminding them of supernatural provision and that your heart is for them, not against them. Thank you that you promised to never leave us or forsake us and that you are good, 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 good all the time, yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, help us to create time to reflect with you, to allow you to settle our anxious hearts, to allow your ruach, your breath, to be breathed into our lungs again. Some of us are just gasping for air. We feel like we're drowning. But you want to breathe your breath of life into us again. Help us to create time with you. Time of connection, time of communion, time where we're intimately connecting with you and we're just gazing at you and we're receiving life from you. And also time where we're being encouraged to go and extend the kingdom and to reach out and do the work of the ministry. So Lord, we love you. We thank you for 2024. We thank you for this time of Hanukkah and Christmas. And thank you that a time when we get to celebrate your miracles. Celebrate the miraculous birth of Yeshua Jesus. And we celebrate that every single day. But we love you and we bless you and we thank you. B'Shem Yeshua. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're just going to close this morning, or not close, but get launched. Get launched with the Aaronic blessing. You know, God wants to bless you. Y'all might be wearing sandals next week because he blessed your socks off. I don't know. But that'd be all right. He does want to bless his children. There's something so powerful about blessing. So as we receive this blessing from the Lord, let's just posture our hands like this, because it's like a position to say, I want to receive your blessings, God, and I'm with you receiving this. I want to pronounce this blessing from Scripture over us today in English. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you And may the Lord grant you his peace. And in the Hebrew, Yivarechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord order your life with divine order as you seek to follow him and serve him and worship him with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. B'Shem Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Amen. Be blessed this week. We'll see you next year.